Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 53, the deliverance of Mutsukunda, text number 53. Bhava parvago brahmato yadha bhavej. Janasyathari chutta satsamagmaha. Satsangamo yarhi tadaiva sargato. Pravarishe chai chai te mati. Pravapavargo brahmato idha bhavej. Nashyathari chutta satsamagamaha. Satsangamo yahi tadaiva sadgato. Paravideshe tvai jayate mati. Bhavan. Of material existence, apavagaha, the cessation, brahmataha, who has been wandering, yada, when, bhavet, occurs, janasya, for a person, tahi, at that time, achuta, O infallible Lord, Sat of saintly devotees, Samagamaha, the association, Satsangamaha, saintly association, Yahi, when, Tada, then, Eva, only, Sat of the saintly, Gato, who is the goal, Para, of superior, the causes of material creation, avara, and inferior, their products, ishe, for the Supreme Lord, tvai, yourself, jayate, is born, mati, devotion. Translation, when the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. Purport. Acharyas Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti agree on the following point. Although it is stated here that when material life ceases, one attains the association of devotees, in fact it is the association of the Lord's devotees that enables one to transcend material existence. Srila Jiva Goswami explains this apparent inversion of sequence by quoting the Kavya Prakash as follows. Karya karanoyas cha purva pariya viparya yo igayati sayokti syatsa. A statement in which the logical order of a cause and its effect is reversed should be understood as ati sayokti, emphasis by extreme assertion. Srila Jiva Goswami cites the following commentary on this statement. Karanasya sigraha karitam bhaktum karyasya paravam mukta. To express the swift action of a cause, one may assert the result before the cause. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the merciful association of the Lord's devotees makes possible our determination to become Krishna conscious. And the Acharya agrees with Srila Jiva Goswami that this verse is an instance of Ati Sayokti. I read the translation again. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, Avachuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. So, this verse here is very unusual, that the cause and effect in a reverse order. So it sounds like, if the average, of course the average person wouldn't understand it at all, but even if devotees read this verse, they would probably think that, you know, when material life ceases, then, you know, you get the association of devotees. That's how it apparently reads. But actually the reverse is the order, and it is a linguistic, a grammatical tool, in order to, as it says here, a statement in which the logical order of a cause and its effect is reversed should be understood as emphasis by extreme assertion. So it's a grammatical situation. So, of course, you'd have to be quite scholarly to pick that up. And thank goodness we have acharyas who are, have that very wonderful spiritual intelligence coming from Krishna, and also, of course, everything is confirmed, by the shastras. And everything is also confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the Lord, and his various devotees. Because this particular verse is a very key verse in this chapter. Generally, in every chapter, in every section of the Bhagavatam, there'll be one or sometimes a couple of key verses which present the essence of that entire theme. And this is one of those verses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking to Rupa Goswami and explaining how love of Godhead awakens, he spoke this verse. So he quoted it. First he spoke a very similar translation. It's actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Perhaps someone can get that for me. Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, text number 45. Let's see, it would be Majjhima Lila, chapter 22 is probably somewhere, probably at 7 or 8 or something, I imagine. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually quoted this verse, so very, very, as an essential verse to understand how Krishna consciousness develops. So, okay. Now, first, here's Lord Chaitanya's statements, and you listen to the similarity between this and what is there. Lord Chaitanya says, by good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nescience, and when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened. So he's stated it in the same. And then in the very next verse, he actually quotes this particular verse. Now, we can read the purport here, and therefore Srila Prabhupada will literally give a purport to this verse, which I've always said, that sometimes there may not be purports written in here, but if you look, you'll see that Prabhupada has commented on just about everything, especially important subject matters. So literally this is Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. And he says that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this point. Is this bhagya, fortune, the result of an accident or something else? In the scriptures, devotional service and pious activity are considered fortunate. Pious activities can be divided into three categories. Pious activities that awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness are called bhakti-unmukhi sukriti. Pious activities that bestow material opulence are called bhogonmukhi. And pious activities that enable the living entity to merge into the existence of the Supreme are called mokshonmukhi. These last two awards of pious activities are not actually fortunate. Pious activities are fortunate when they help one to become Krishna conscious. The good fortune of bhakti-unmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with a devotee. By associating with a devotee, willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service and thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. So there we see that Srila Prabhupada quoting Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, and this same point is also mentioned by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura in the Madhurya Kadambini, where he describes exactly the same principle, that there are three types of pious activities: that which bestows, you know, material good fortune, so-called good fortune, pious activity which bestows merging into the existence of the Lord, and pious activity which actually awards association with devotees. And that sort of pious activity, Srila Prabhupada specifically says here, the good fortune of bhakti-unmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with a devotee. So to explain this same point a little further, how actually first one comes into contact with the devotee, then that is the beginning of liberation from the entanglement in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada says that exact sentence in the Krishna book. He says, association with the devotees is the beginning of the liberation from entanglement in the material world. So all the acharyas, they agree. Srila Prabhupada states in the Krishna book, Srila Bhaktivinoda, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, Srila Jiva Goswami, they're all saying. So it is just a linguistic ploy that it appears in a different order. But one should understand the point very clearly that only by association with devotees can one actually attain the pious credits, bhakti-unmukhi, by which it gradually awakens Krishna consciousness. And the result of that is that one is awarded the opportunity to associate with a devotee. So you associate with a devotee, willingly or unwillingly, and that awards you further association. And, you know, when there is, particularly strong credit, it can award association with very, very advanced spiritual master, very advanced devotees. By that association with the devotees, that little bit of, faith that is there, that little spark, tiny little spark, it is fanned. And it becomes, a little flame, a very sort of more firm interest and a firm faith in Krishna consciousness. So the same is actually stated in the prayers that we sing each morning by Narottam Das Thakur. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kala Bhakati Sadma Bandamui Savidana Mate. That only by the grace of the spiritual master can one cross the ocean of material existence. So again, same point. It's not that you cross the ocean of material existence and then, you attain the association of devotees. You attain the association of devotees, that is the beginning of crossing the ocean of material existence. And that. And the word there, bhava, is also used The next verse, by the grace of that verse, and the next verse, by the grace of the spiritual master, one is able to cross over the ocean of material existence. And here, the word bhava is also used, bhava of material existence. It's not bhava with a long A, it's bhava with a short A, which means in this case material existence. Because bhava is our nature, and this sort of bhava is our conditioned nature. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to change our nature to spiritual bhava, a different nature, a spiritual existence. Like that. So, then when one gets the association of the devotees, that association with devotees fans that little spark of Krishna consciousness, and in the association with devotees, it awakens an attraction to Krishna consciousness. In the same way with King Muchukunda, that previously he had the association of Gargamuni. And by that association, even though all the demigods offered him so many benedictions, he developed a taste for something else by that association with Gargamuni. Just maybe a few moments association. And that was enough that he was, now his taste was, no, I want Krishna. All the benedictions. So you see how even in this chapter the same principles are there. So this Agyata Sukriti, that is also it is not accidental. There is no qualification, there is no pre-qualification to receive a Agyata Sukriti. It is the causeless mercy of the Lord and the devotees. It is not that, therefore, we sometimes see that a very sinful person who, for no apparent reason, is awarded the opportunity for a Agyata Sukriti. So, for instance, sometimes we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came to the West. And Krishna, if Srila Prabhupada would need something, certainly those devotees who have some Agyata Sukriti, that will naturally be attracted. That is a reward for pious devotional activities in a previous life. But some living entities, just because Prabhupada, perhaps, no qualification, whatever they may have done in a previous life, just the fact that Srila Prabhupada was there and he may need some assistance, Krishna will send. Or you go on, give some money. You go on, help out this way. That's Krishna's prerogative. He can award that opportunity to please his devotees. Even though the person, so it's completely causeless. It's not like the Karma Mamamsa philosophy. The Karma Mamamsa philosophy is that, if you do something good, you've got to get the result. But it's not a fact. The whole process of Krishna consciousness depends upon mercy. So therefore, devotees are never proud. Devotees never think, perhaps in my previous lifetime I developed some Agyata Sukriti and therefore I have come to Krishna consciousness. Now, even if a devotee thinks like that, they still think, but where did that Agyata Sukriti come from? The Lord's mercy. And what was my qualification? None. So whether we assume that there may be some Agyata Sukriti or whether we assume that there's not, in any case, we consider that our position is simply by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, someone asked him that, so the only way to come to Krishna consciousness is through Agyata Sukriti. And Srila Prabhupada says, Why agyata? Why not gyata? Why not knowingly? Be informed. Krishna is the only way, as your Prabhupada said. Right? Why come just unwillingly? And he quotes a verse which Lord Chaitanya he makes the point, which Lord Chaitanya quotes a few verses on in this same chapter, that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita not just for Arjuna. He spoke Bhagavad Gita to the whole world. He told everyone, regardless of their situation, as Prabhupada put it, says, "You rascal, take this, Krishna consciousness and be happy." As in Prabhupada paraphrasing the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So, that is Krishna's mood. And Prabhupada further affirms, Krishna says, "And rest assured, I will give you full protection." And, also in the Nectar Devotion, it's described there in the second chapter, I think it is, that you cannot take to devotional service unless you have performed devotional service in a previous lifetime. So that is the general principle. Now, Srila Prabhupada qualifies that a little bit. And he says in that chapter that even if there is no continuity, that if someone simply takes the instructions of a pure devotee, he is accepted and he can advance in Krishna consciousness. So he made that point in a conversation, and he makes that point in the Nectar Devotion. So, and especially in this day and age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it even easier than what Krishna made it. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that these temples, they are open to everyone, regardless of the past, regardless of, your past history. Agyata security, no agyata security, piety, sinful. These Krishna conscious temples are there. Of course, people come and people go. Not everyone to live within a Hare Krishna temple or to, be a regular welcome visitor or what have you, or farm. Certain has to be some respect for the devotees and the environment and the deities, but still it is open for everyone to come and very easy. Lord Chaitanya, what is the qualification? How much piety do you have to have to be able to dance or to eat prasadam? How much qualification do you really need? Lord Chaitanya is just saying, no qualification. I am distributing this regardless to anyone. Take prasadam. And Srila Prabhupada says, so one devotee asks, and someone, can someone, take to Krishna consciousness without a background of piety? And Srila Prabhupada says that as soon as they accept, they become pious. So there's no piety. You sit down, you take a prasadam, you're pious. You chant Hare Krishna, immediately, you're pious. The piety is there. Krishna is awarding. And so much sinful reaction is nullified. So Krishna is giving that opportunity. So, but of course, the point being made here is that in all those circumstances, it is the mercy of the devotee. The Lord is acting, and generally he acts through his devotee. And by the devotees, going everywhere to make themselves available to everyone, they're giving everyone the opportunity to immediately take to Krishna consciousness regardless of their previous situation. Now, no doubt, if one does have a background of piety through devotional service, it makes Krishna consciousness easier. And Srila Prabhupada also says that in the Nectar Devotion, that, you know, because the greater the store of Krishna conscious piety from previous lifetime, you'll find that those devotees have a greater taste for Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion that, you know, a devotee who has a strong taste for hearing, you know, Bhagavad Gita and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, hearing from the devotees, then, you know, naturally Krishna consciousness is easier for them than someone who has no taste for reading, no taste for chanting. See? So, you know, it is open for everyone, but certainly if there is a, you know, a backdrop of previous devotional activity, it will make it easier for you because there will be a natural taste. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that there are two types of faith. There is faith that is invoked by force, and there is faith which is natural or a little spontaneous. So generally that faith which is invoked by force indicates that the person has very weak agyata sakriti, if any, you know, from none to little. And therefore, one has to, devotees have to, you know, be a little bit more assertive, protective, you know, preach a lot of perhaps over a long period of time, you know, gradually they get a taste. That's the indication there may be some, you know, lacking there. But those who have perhaps more advancement from previous life by the Lord's mercy, their shraddha or faith is a little bit more natural, which means that they'll just start chanting Hare Krishna. They don't need a huge amount of preaching. The devotees say you should chant Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll chant Hare Krishna. The devotees say, you know, we worship the deities. Okay, I'm in. Like that, you know. So, you know, there's not, that's natural. That's sort of spontaneous. And of course, you know, when that is there, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that they will definitely advance in the association of devotees, through the association of devotees, you know, a little, quite steadily, quite rapidly with that. Whereas, you know, when there needs to be a lot of force, you know, advancement is a little slower and can be, you know, very unsteady. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically states that for those of, you know, coming to Krishna consciousness of weak faith, it's called Kamala Shraddha, they must hear Dasamula Tattva. Dasamula Tattva is the 10 essential truths of Vaishnavism. They must hear it from the devotees, and otherwise, if they do not hear Dasamula Tattva from the devotees, then through bad association, by hearing something else, they will quickly fall down. Dasamula Tattva, of course, is the 10 esoteric truths of Krishna consciousness, of which the first is called Pramana, that the topmost evidence of all the different types of evidence is Vedic evidence, Sabda Brahma. And of all that, you know, Vedic evidence, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is, you know, the essence, the best. The next 7 describe Sambandhigyan, or our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is Krishna. Let me see if I get these. Krishna, Krishna's energy. Krishna is the source of all rasas, taste. There is Achincha Bhedabheda Tattva. The material world is simultaneously different and non-different from the Lord. There is the the various I said the energies. Did I say the energies? Lord, yeah. There is the jiva conditioned by material existence. There is the jiva liberated from material existence. There's one more in there somewhere. Anyway, those seven, that's sambandha gyan. And the next one is that through devotional service, particularly sadhana bhakti, one is liberated from material existence. Only through sadhana bhakti, only through devotional service can one be liberated from material existence. And the last one is that the ultimate goal and the perfection of consciousness, spiritual consciousness, is prema or pure love of God. So these different aspects of the philosophy must be understood, especially they must be taught, especially to those who may be a little weak in their Krishna consciousness, because that teaching fosters strong faith. Now, of course, if a devotee doesn't want to hear, if someone doesn't want to hear from the devotee, then their Krishna consciousness, is then in a precarious position. They're completely dependent upon, that strong association with devotees. Someone with a little stronger faith, through chanting and associating, even though the association may not be as thick or as constant, they will still stay quite strong in their Krishna consciousness. So, of course, if there's no humility, then one cannot hear from the devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he approached Prakasananda Saraswati, who was the leader of all the Mayavadis in Benares, I think it was. And Prakasananda Saraswati. Now these sannyasis, they're generally very proud of their vast knowledge, their renunciation, the very elevated position, their spiritual standing. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached them, he sat down in the place where they washed their feet. See, so he took a very, very humble position, because he was giving an opportunity to practice Ananda Sarasvati, to perform a Gaura Sukriti. And if he performs some Gaura Sukriti, immediately it gives him some qualification to advance in Krishna consciousness. And Prakasananda took that opportunity. So he went and he took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the hand. You do not sit there, you're a great exalted personality. You take a very nice seat here. So by that respect, there's immediately Gaura Sukriti. So, but now, if Prakasananda Sarasvati did not show that humble attitude, but due to pride, mistook the position of a devotee, Srila Prabhupada says, if someone takes advantage of the humility of a devotee, then his spiritual life is assured. But if someone misuses the humility of a devotee, he is doomed, as Srila Prabhupada says in that particular purport. So, very interesting point there. That because devotees, they're naturally humble by nature. They don't run, devotees, their whole mood is everything for Krishna. They want Krishna's holy name to be glorified throughout the universe. They want the deities, to look very beautiful. They want, Krishna's temple to be a wonderful place. They want to, glorify the other devotees. Devotees, but for themselves, they just want to hide away in embarrassment. That's the mentality of the devotee. They're not, they don't have the mood that, everybody look at me. they're thinking, like Gopalabhata Goswami was thinking, don't mention my name in the Chaitanya Dharmamrita, he asked Krishna Das Kaviraj, you know, because you know, I'm such a rascal, don't spoil your book by putting my name there. And Krishna Das Kaviraj himself, the author of Chaitanya Dharmamrita, he says, I am lower than the worm in stool. And Sanatana Goswami, he is saying that, I am from a very low class and I associate with low people. I am worse than Jagai Madai. I'm worse than the worst. But if someone thinks, oh, yeah, okay, Krishna Das Kaviraj is, you know, he says he's lower than the worm in stool, well, he must be. You know, then he can come and serve me. And bring Sanatan and this one, they can all come and serve me. Right? So there's a danger there, which Srila Prabhupada points out. So one has to hear from the devotees and associate with the devotees, but you know, if one takes advantage of the humility, the natural humility of a devotee, and therefore does not perceive that opportunity, they can ruin their chance for Krishna consciousness. So one has to be very careful of that. So this verse here stating, when the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees, and when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. The goal of the devotees. See, devotees, Vaishnavas, are not understood even by the greatest of scholars. They're very, you know, Vaishnavas. The Vaishnava, other Vaishnavas can understand. It's very easy to understand what Prabhu is doing. He's acting for the benefit of Krishna. Sometimes the Vaishnavas, they will act with detachment. Oh, he's doing that for Krishna. Sometimes they act with attachment. Oh, he's doing that for Krishna. Sometimes they follow the rules very strictly. He's doing that for Krishna. Sometimes they break the rules. He's doing that for Krishna. Those who are not Vaishnavas, they do everything for sense gratification. They're very easy to understand. But sometimes, for instance, Lord Nityananda. Now, Lord Nityananda was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that every year the devotees used to come to Puri to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the 4 months of the rainy season. And they would celebrate all the major festivals. You know, there's Janmashtami and, you know, Radhashtami and Rath Yatra and, you know, all the major, most of them in that Chaturmasi period, 4 month period. Devotees would come from all over India in that big, big festivals. You know, and they just loved to be with their Lord, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they went there, they wanted to serve, take every opportunity, you know. Let us feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the, you know, the 4 months, we'll just feed him up as much as we can. His favourite preparation, we'll dance, we'll play mridanga, we'll, you know, we'll chant, we'll just make Lord Chaitanya, you know, just so happy, just let him know how much we love him like this. So they would go there, but one year, Lord Chaitanya, he said to Lord Nityananda, next year, you do not come here because I want you to preach in Bengal. Right? So, that's what Lord Nityananda did. But one year, he broke the Lord's his promise and he went to Jagannath Puri anyway. Because he knew that by not following the Lord's order, the Lord would be more pleased than if he followed it. See, so everything that the devotees do, they do for the Lord. It's easy to understand. But if you look at the activities of devotees and you don't have love of God or don't understand devotional service, you will totally misunderstand what a devotee is doing. It's very easy for us to sit here and criticise Lord Nityananda. The Lord asks you to stay in Bengal. What are you doing here? And then there was Damayanti. Damayanti, that when they would go to Puri, Damayanti was Raghava Pandit's wife, and she would cook. She would cook enough for the Lord to eat for a whole year until they came next time. And she would fill up these bags, so many bags. But she used to cook these very bitter preparations. Now, someone would think, you're supposed to love Lord Chaitanya, you're cooking him this bitter preparation? Where's the love? But she's thinking that, you know, if I give him this bitter preparation, then he will not get ill from eating, you know, a lot of opulent prasadam, because the bitter preparation is very good for your digestion. You have something bitter first, and then you can eat so much prasadam and you do not become ill. So, but she was treating Lord Chaitanya like an ordinary person. He's God. God doesn't get ill. But she's, you know, because of her love, she's, you know, she's treating him like an ordinary person. Now, of course, for someone without that love, if they begin to treat the Lord like an ordinary person, generally they will be neglectful, because the love's not there. Pure devotees may treat the Lord like an ordinary person, but that ordinary person, as described here, is the goal of the devotees. So, the activities of the devotees, whose only goal for every action is to please Krishna, a little difficult to understand, but if one associates with those devotees, then you can't help but get that love as well. That's what happens. You know, if you associate with Srila Prabhupada, or, you know, your Guru Maharaj, or any, you know, sincere devotee, you can't help but to start, you know, oh, Krishna, Krishna, you know, Krishna, Krishna, you know, let me do something for Krishna. It's contagious off a devotee. And you lose taste for everything else. That's the natural, you know, result of associating with devotees. So therefore, the purport of this verse is, you know, how important association of devotees is. From the very beginning, it starts you on the path of Krishna consciousness, and as you get more association with devotees, you become more and more develop a taste for Krishna, and lose your taste for everything else that is there. But in saying that, we've got to ask a question about, you know, different types of devotees. Right? So what is the result? You would ask, you know, associated with devotees. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he sums it up pretty much in a couple of sentences. He says, you serve the uttama adhikaris, your first class devotees, 100%, 100%. With your heart and soul. The Majjhima Adhikaris, you serve 66%. And the Kanishtha Adhikaris, you serve 33%. Right? It's not that, you know, I've been asked to serve a devotee, so a Kanishtha Adhikari gives an order, that overrides the order of the Guru? No. The order of the Guru, 100%. You know, with one's heart and soul. See? So, one should be a little intelligent to apply this philosophy. Even there are different grades of, you know, in those three, there are also different grades again. Generally, we, you know, the devotees, they, especially the Majjhima Adhikari, they serve the Lord, they you know, associate with Vaishnavas, and, you know, they're very, you know, they help the innocent, and they avoid the envious. So when people have some little spark of Krishna consciousness, devotees are very eager to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's very important. If Srila Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Instruction, in this, you know, how to associate with devotees, that sometimes if a person is very envious or has, you know, particularly bad habits, one should not associate with that sort of devotee very closely. One can offer their association from a distance. See, so all these things have to be applied intelligently. In fact, Srila Prabhupada actually mentions there that his godbrothers began to become envious even of his preaching in Krishna consciousness. And he says, as soon as he says, I have noticed that some of my so-called big preachers, godbrothers, who are supposed to be big preachers, have become envious. And he says, as soon as, even if someone is an elevated devotee, as soon as they become envious, they immediately become fallen. So therefore, even then, Srila Prabhupada is warning against, you know, association, certain types of association. So, yes, we have to serve devotees, but that does not mean that we, you know, anyone who claims to be a devotee, oh, let's just throw ourselves at their feet and just associate with them, you know, 100% of the time and do whatever they say and try and please them. No. We have to seek out those advanced devotees and particularly serve them. And but anyone who is innocent, no matter how unqualified, we should always be ready to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. We should give them as much time, you know, as we possibly can. Like that. So, you know, these principles are there in Krishna consciousness. That is, association with devotees will, we'll read the translation here that Muchakunda says to the Lord, when material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees, and when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees, and the Lord of all causes and their effects. So we've got 5 minutes if anyone has any quick questions or comments about any of those points, or any pastimes that may help illuminate that subject. So I'm everyone's pretty satisfied. Did you have a question? You can ask your head. Dasamulatattva, yeah. Oh, okay. There is a book by Srila Baladev Vidyabhasan called Pramaya Tattva, which offers those same principles, nine principles. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has one book called, actually, Dasamulatattva, in which there are 10 principles, because he includes Achincha Beta Beta Tattva, which is a very important teaching of Lord Chaitanya that should be included in the essential teachings of the Vedas. So those books there. Throughout some places in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they're mentioned essentially. In Srila Prabhupada's purports, but Dasamula Tattva, which is a book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it goes into it very nicely. Okay, any other questions or comments? Jai Gaur Srila Prabhupada.